Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey, this is Jared Oswalt, this is Porch Talk, and this is Can't Have the Dog. Take my things and take your ring and throw them out the window like you want to. You want to shove all my love in my face and yell at me and say we're through. Well, go on ahead and do it. I've done all I can, so screw it. But one last thing got to say before I go. You can't have the dog. Well, we're closer than you and I ever were. Well, in the end it seemed I was the only one to ever love her. So you can cry and moan. You never gave the dog a bone. Oh, you can have the rest of my heart. Can't have the dog. Well, your lovely charm, it brought me harm. You made it clear that you would never stay. You give the pain, you'll take the shame. My dog never really liked you anyway. So if you must go, then go. No need to make us all a show. But just so we are all on the same page, you can't have the dog. But we're closer than you and I ever were. Well, in the end it seemed I was the only one to ever love her. So you can cry and moan. You never gave the dog a bone. Oh, you can have the rest of my heart. Can't have the dog. So if you must go, then go. No need to make this all a show. But there's one thing that you really need to know. You can't have my dog. Well, we're closer than you and I ever were. Well, in the end it seemed I was the only one to ever love that dog. So you can cry and moan. You never gave the dog a bone. Oh, you can have the rest of my heart. Can't have the dog. You can't have the dog. Oh, you can have the rest of my heart. Can't have my dog.
Welcome you to Porch Talk, as Garrett just told you. This is Porch Talk episode. We are in the back room of Munson and Brothers, and Garrett is preparing to play a show for us this evening.
That's right.
And first off, brother, I just want to tell you congratulations for this year, with getting this year booked up. It has been, just following you on social media, man, it's been great to see you not only as a songwriter, but to form the band. And to get that sound, and I'm a big fan, man.
Man, I appreciate it. I mean,
it's my first ever tour, basically. So, yeah. I mean, it's first, my first ever band, too. So I've always been a solo act, and I've always just gotten shows here and there once a month, twice a month. But, I mean, this is pretty big for me, honestly.
Yeah. And so, man, what's it feel like just, I guess, just doing it right the first time?
Well, having a good band helps out a lot, because when I'm doing solo shows, which I still love to do, I mean, well, I'm about to do one here.
Like a band.
Oh, man, I swear. It just gives me an opportunity to relax more. I love my guitar player. Like, I mean, I'll just sit back sometimes and just watch this guy play, and he is just hammering like this guitar like it's going out of style. I mean, he's a very classical country player, and it's awesome to hear that type of music. And I mean, it just gives me an opportunity to just stand back. I mean, with the solo, I'm there the entire time. When I have a full band behind me, it's so much better for me, in my opinion.
That's right. And I get it too, man. It's like solo act is all the weight and all the burden is on you.
But that's
with
right.
Man, especially if you got some good players behind you.
Man, yeah.
It's like a weight off your shoulders.
That's for sure. That's for
and
sure.
So we'll get to the band and the okay. formation of it, but I want to start with you, Garrett Oswalt.
Oswalt.
Where are you from?
Eupora, Mississippi. It's a little town, maybe 1,000 people at most. I live off maybe 10 minutes away from Eupora, actually, in a little community called Center. And, man, it's just me and my wife and my beautiful baby daughter, and we're just living the high life for sure.
Tell me a little bit about growing up, man.
Growing up, I was very introverted. I'm still very introverted. I mean, I was pretty much sweating the whole time I was coming up here thinking about having to talk. But, I mean, I was very introverted, but people seemed to like me. I mean, I ended up becoming high school president, so, I mean, they must have liked me somehow, but
what never... You high school?
Eupora High School, yeah. But never sang. I mean, my papa would try to get me up on stage at church every Sunday, never wanted to do it. I would stand there with a microphone in my hand and just freeze. And my old youth pastor, Josh Buford, he invited me on stage when I was 18 years old, and he said, you're gonna sing. I mean, this is your church. You're going to sing. And I was just like, all right. And we sang an old song called The Lighthouse. And ever since then, I felt more comfortable on stage. I still am pretty introverted when it comes to talking to people, but on stage, I'm a different story.
You know, take it back for me a little bit. Like, music in your life, the Oswalts, is that right?
Oswalts, that's
Oswalts.
Right.
Is music, is it a music family? Like,
on my mother's side. My father's side, he has an older brother, and then my mama and papa, they were just not big into music, but, I mean, other than, like, playing it on the radio and stuff. But my mother, she's a very talented piano player.
Plays in church.
She does, that's right. And, my grandfather, when they were still alive, my grandfather and grandmother, they all sang and used to have this big piano inside their second living room, sort of. And we would all just gather around, and basically they just put on a concert of the Barnetts.
Right on. So, oh, yeah. I mean, like, how did music happen for you? Like, where was that first, like, interest in everyone? Because
right.
putting you up on stage on
right.
church, they knew you, they had it, that you had it.
Right, I guess. I mean, my mother, I always sang Southern gospel growing up, because that's the only thing my mother would play. It'd be French Camp on the radio, and I mean, we just listened to Southern gospel 24/7 whenever I was riding with her. But my father, whenever I was riding with him, we didn't listen to the radio. He only had two CDs, and one was Willie Nelson and the other one was Merle Haggard. So growing up, those two were, I mean, it. And then the older I got, Waylon Jennings became a big hero of mine on music-wise. But Merle Haggard was probably my first introduction to country music. And I was like, that's what I want to do if I...
How old were you?
10, maybe. Just right, I mean, old enough that Dad allowed me to drive his truck, but not old enough that he would allow me to drive it in the town of Eupora. So.
Right on. And so just like just from growing up and at 10 years old, finding how long would it be before your family like put a guitar or like started teaching you piano? What did that look like?
Whenever I was 10 years old, I was introduced to my first guitar. It was a Kona guitar. And they set me up with a music class. I went to Don Pounds for about a year. And I was too young at the time. I was not mature enough to really think about sticking with it long term. And, I mean, I started getting into football and things like that. So I wanted to be more of the sports guy. And that's what I stuck with for most of my middle school and high school was football. And then I had a foot injury, and I just decided not to play my senior year. And one of my best friends, he was already a really great guitar player at the time, and he was playing in church all the time, and I was like, well, I want to at least learn how to play rhythm guitar if I'm going to play. And that's when Josh invited me up on stage. I sang for the first time. I said, I want this guy to be in my band. Me and him can rule the world, basically, and he can be my lead guitar player, and I can be the rhythm guitar player. So I really started learning because of my buddy in high school, and I stuck with it. I just started taking YouTube lessons, basically, and, I mean, YouTube has basically taught me everything that I know.
Yeah, right on. I mean, we were in that self-taught. I remember with the advent of the internet was around the time that I would get into it.
I was
15, and my buddy Sid Moore
blew
my hair back at a talent show playing CCR, Proud Mary.
Right.
And I told my grandma when I got home that night, I was like, I got to play guitar.
Right.
Right. And it was a kind of similar thing. I was huge into baseball, and it wasn't an injury. It was just like I had lost the love of a game.
Right.
And I just, give me a guitar. Was it kind of that same thing?
It's sort of. Like I said, I grew up with Southern Gospel, and so I had favorites. And usually Southern Gospels are like quartets and things like that. You don't see the instruments up front. But there was a band, or a family, called the Crab Family. And the lead guy that I sort of try to emulate on the southern on the gospel side of things was Jason Crabb, and man, he always had a Stratocaster with him, and he could play the blues like it was no joke. I mean, just hitting all these blues notes. Of course, they're playing Southern Gospel, but I mean, he was a very gifted guitar player. So that's where I fell in love with the sound of the guitar. But John Mayer is where I learned like to appreciate the craft and want to really, I mean, John is the type of person where I don't really care that much about the lyrics that he says, but everything that he does on guitar is magic.
Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, a lot of he recently replaced Garcia.
Right.
And a lot of the deadheads didn't really like it. And I was like, who would you want?
Are you kidding me? Like, this guy is a genius.
Else?
Right.
Yeah, because I remember, you know, he wrote those pop hits to make it, and now, like, every album that he does, it's kind of like,
blues.
What genre is he going to do next?
Right, that country album, I love that country album that he did.
Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, like, I remember the first time I heard Gravity, that
And I was
he's making that guitar sing.
Oh, yeah. Well, he did, when Netflix first was doing the DVD sales and stuff, my family got really big into it, and they did the two disc thing. My parents would get a disc, and I would get a disc. Mm. And I remember finding John Mayer, Where the Lights Are, is the live album and stuff.
Where the Light Is.
And man, he did the acoustic set, the John Mayer Trio, and then his full band. And I fell in love with the John Mayer Trio stuff more than I did everything else, just because it's him and two other guys, and he's just playing the fire out of the guitar. And I mean, I fell in love with that.
So tell me a little bit about, like, you're getting out of high school, you're more involved on stage at the church with your friend.
Right.
Like, how would that evolve into you taking it out to, like, the public, to a restaurant, or how did that happen?
Well, my first restaurant show was at our little Mexican restaurant in Eupora, and of course, we didn't do just Christian songs. We were like, oh, man, we can do John Mayer, and I'm over here singing John Mayer with the most country's accent as possible, and it's just like, that sort of genre is probably not going to fit.
Dude, I was rubbing some elbows earlier.
Right.
And there's been some talk about you coming to town.
Right.
And a couple of people, and I guess we've heard it, they related you to like a coach or wall with that defense.
Man, I appreciate
How
that.
How about that?
That's awesome. Man, culture, and you see, that's the type of country that I'm really getting into now. Like, whenever I graduated college, I was with the top 20 and stuff. Like, I never listened to the top 20. I stuck with, like, the 90s and eight, like, that type of mainstream country. And then they were like, man, have you ever heard of Sturgill Simpson? I was just like, never heard of him. Listen to him.
Grass.
Yeah.
Even before.
And Tyler Childers. Man, down. Yeah, Turtles. That's probably, Long White Line is probably my favorite song from him. But, yeah, Tyler Childers, and then Culture Wall came out, and they were just like, man, you need to sing more Culture Walls. And
yeah,
I was just like,
live,
right.
You seen him live?
No, I'm sorry. I just take that back. I didn't see him live.
Yeah, you get a chance to do it. No. It ain't nothing like it. But just to go back to the Mexican restaurant.
Right.
Yopora.
And it was me, my buddy, his name's Justin Boatman, and we had a cajon player. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a drummer, but he bought his own cajon. And, I mean, people just absolutely loved it. And, I mean, I was just like, well, if I can.
We got something.
I think we got something. And then we started. See, he was still a senior in high school, Justin was, and I was in college, but I was commuting back and forth. Well, his first year of college, he went to Delta State, so I never really got to see him that much. So I was just like, well, I guess I'm going to have to do this by myself now. And so for years, I mean, I was 21 at the time, 21, and now I'm 29, and this is like the first full year that I've had a band. So for 7-8 years and stuff, I've done things by myself.
Let's talk about those 7-8 years, just for listeners who might want to step off into this. Is let's just a little bit into maybe it's self-doubt, or like, were there ever times to where you felt like this just ain't it? Were you ever discouraged?
Oh yeah, for sure. And I listened to your podcast from the last podcast you just did. Mm-hmm. And y'all were talking about how the crowd reacts, and that's what hit me the most. Was I would play at certain places, and a lot of times it was at church. Church, you're going to get a reaction regardless, but
whether you do good or not,
right?
I mean, that's how
right.
I grew up, right?
That's right.
And everybody's going, you did such a great
exactly.
job, honey.
Exactly.
Whether you did or not.
Oh yeah, but then you turn that around and you go to a restaurant or a bar or any place, and man, they don't pay attention sometimes, and it's just like I put my heart and soul in this, and you're not paying attention. Or if you are paying attention, it's maybe one person in the back just doing a clap, and it sort of gets at you sometimes. I mean, even now, like some of the solo shows, I mean, more of the band shows that I do, I'll get a better reaction. But even the solo shows, I'll just be like, man, I could be doing something else. And it eats at you, but it's just like, I must be doing something right if I'm getting these shows. Somebody in the crowd's listening.
I think so, man. And just like, you know, as long as we've been friends on social media and
right.
been following you, it's like just seeing the journey. And I was like, he's getting booked. He's getting booked.
Right.
And it's like more and more and more.
That's
more.
Right.
Like he's doing good.
Right.
You know? And so it's such a great thing to see people in this community like doing that.
Yeah.
And so, I guess to scoot it up to the band, that 7-8 year, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot that we could cover.
Right.
But how did you find the guys that would be in your band?
Well, my buddy went off to college, and I was by myself. My best friend, he is probably the most gifted musician, like, can play it all. Like, I've never seen a person pick up an instrument, never seen it before, like a banjo, let's just say a banjo. He'll look at the banjo, pull up the strings, hit a few notes, and it's like, my gosh, you're a master of this thing. But he has anxiety, and it has gotten to the point where he doesn't do shows with me. And that was sort of like a breaking point for me. I was like, man, if I can't have this guy be with me, I don't know if I can do these solo shows anymore. And I mean, it was just getting to the point. Well, I brought up Josh Buford earlier. He used to have a band called the Josh Buford Band. And there was a guitar player that started playing with them, and his name was Matt Brown. And at the time, I was running sound for the Josh Buford Band. And one day, I think I was just singing, and Matt was like, man, that's pretty good. Why don't you sing with us sometimes, or we'll get together? And for nine, 10 years, we just never meshed up. Like, he would have a job that took him away, or I would have something completely different. And the last 2 years, we finally meshed our schedules together where we can play together. And that's been the best thing, because, I mean, there's not a better guitar player out there than Matt Brown, in my opinion. I mean, he is just...
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Awesome. I mean, I can't say any more about it.
That's how I feel about the I'm in three bands. Two of them is Philip and Matt Mason are a part of, and then I have another band that hasn't had a show yet. But my guitar players, Philip Sable and Garrett, I got a Garrett myself.
Yeah.
Is Dave Garrett.
Yeah.
His last name's Garrett. Is I wouldn't trade him for anybody.
Oh, man. That's the thing. If Matt came up to me and was like, hey, I'm going to have to do something else, I'd probably cry. I'm not going to lie. It's one of those, I don't know what I can do, honestly.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the same thing with the other two. I mean, Cody Cox, he's our drummer. He is a young kid, but it's just insane the amount of talent that he has behind him. And we have our bass player, Billy Joe Fulgham, and I joke with him sometimes, like, we keep you around because you have the most country name out of all of us and stuff. And I said, that's the reason people love us so much, because we got a Billy Joe in the band.
We
introduced
you about two or three times, and they just love it.
Oh, yeah. But,
let me ask you this. It's like, what led to you, like, running sound?
Honestly, just because nobody else would do it.
I didn't know if you were, like, shadowing or if you were trying to...
Not really. It's just a spur-of-the-moment type things. I just became friends with all the members of that band. And Josh, he bought, like, a brand-new system. And I was like, I have no idea how to run it. And he said, well, I'll show you the first time. And he said, all you got to do is just emulate what I'm doing and stuff. And I'll, I mean, you'll be a natural. And, I mean, I ran sound for him for close to a year. And, I mean, it was a fun experience. I got to listen to a lot of good Christian music and stuff like that. Went to a lot of good churches and things like that. So.
Right on. And so, just back to the band, we've talked a little bit about the formation and how you found everybody. But we know how we found the guitarist. How did you find the drummer and the bassist?
They were a part of another band that... They do have another band, but they don't play as much as we do. And that was the beginning of this year. We had a big talk with both of them, and I knew them just because Matt knew Billy Joe. And they said, well, we need a bass player. At the beginning, we were just doing two-man shows, and it's still fun to do with just an electric guitar and an acoustic guitar, but it doesn't give you that oomph that the bass and the drums add to it. And he was like, man, I really want to have a band. And I said, hey, I'm completely fine with that. So we tried to find our drummer and bass player, and he said, well, I've got this friend named Billy Joe, and he's a part of another band, but he said that they're sort of taking a hiatus right now, and they have a few shows, but none of the shows are at the same dates that we have shows, so you want to try them out. We tried them out. I mean, became good friends with all of them, and it's just clicked since then.
Right on. And so, like, when the band formed, you were already playing solo shows, duo shows.
Right.
When you began to introduce the band to these venues, I mean, I'm sure they were just lapping it up, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, I try to do a little bit of comedy when I introduce them and stuff like that. And I call Matt the man, the myth, the legend and stuff. And he's introverted like I am, so that just embarrasses the crap out of him. And Cody, he just had a brand new baby. And I said, hey, all the tip money goes to diapers. And then I'll... See, we're all married except for Billy Joe, and I'll be like, Billy Joe's the ladies' man over here and stuff. Every time
any single ladies.
Oh, yeah, any single ladies, just go for Billy Joe for sure.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they love every bit of it. And, I mean, having a band has opened me up more on stage. Like, even now, like, on a solo show, I'll sing all 2 hours tonight. I won't stop or put my head up to... say how y'all doing. I might say, hey, I'm Jared Oswalt, but having a band, especially Matt's over there like, hey, say something. I'm just like, I'm sort of scared, man.
Yeah.
But
what do I say?
Yeah,
this is a song called so
and
so.
Yeah, and that's right. What do I do with my hands type deal?
I know you can't see us, but it's Talladega Nights and my hands are getting tired.
So, I mean, having Matt and just having these more shows has opened me up a little bit more, because me and Matt definitely feed off each other, because me and him are the only two that have the mics and stuff. So I'll say something and he'll either react to what I said, or he'll say something, I'll react to what he says. So, I mean, it makes it a lot less stressful having those three guys there with me than just being by myself.
Right on. And so just, and I know this will be dated over time, but just to give people an idea of the area that y'all are covering, like, where are y'all playing this year?
Mostly North Mississippi. Like I said, we all have families, and a lot of these venues don't close until 12, 1, 2 o'clock and stuff. And yeah. I'm the type that I love to be in the bed with my wife at the end of the night regardless. So that's the way I want to keep it for the time being. And Amory, his Smoking Bros in Amory is a big place that we'll be hitting more in the fall. Hobie's in Starkville, Columbus, a few areas, yeah. And have a few shows in Eupora, actually, too. They're starting to do a big thing at the lake, at Eupora Lake, and they asked us to be their first concert, so that felt pretty good to be honored like that, to be like, hey, we're wanting y'all to be the first band to try this thing out, so.
That's awesome. Well, dude, next Porch Fest come around, I definitely want you in there, and I'll give you an early slot so I can get you home.
Okay.
But I want you to come out to Kennedy and play for us.
Definitely.
How much have you been tinkering and playing around with original songwriting?
Probably since I was 21. My first ever song was my favorite song I ever wrote, and I lost it. I know.
My best friend, Andrew Watkins,
right,
has the same story.
Yes.
And what's stupid is we recorded it.
Right.
And we can't even find the recording, and it's gone.
It's crazy.
The song was called Hazel Eyes, and I'm telling you,
right,
it was a banger.
Right. And, see, whenever I first started writing, I sort of had that sort of culture wall type writing style, like, and the more I've started writing, the more, not mainstream, but I'll stick with like the 90s country type vibe to everything.
That's the vibe I get on.
But whenever I first started, like Sierra, I sing a song called Sierra, and it's probably the darkest song that I've ever written, and that's like the third song I ever wrote in my life. Song I ever wrote was the day after Merle Haggard passed away, and I wrote a song called Outlaw in the Sky, like the day after.
Christ.
And now that's become my favorite song, even though I lost the first one. I mean, that first one, like you said, it's a pretty awesome song, and it's just like, I can't find it.
What is your process like? Does it take an event such as like thinking about a death, or like is it? I know it's different every time.
It's different every time, yeah, that's for sure. I find that the best songs that I write take 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
Me too.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, the ones that I have to think so much about, I end up nitpicking so much afterwards, like, man, that was a stupid lyric.
It becomes too much like work.
Exactly. But, I mean, if a song just pops in my head, and I'll play some tonight, there's a song that I just wrote, like,
Oh, you're doing trials.
Right, yeah, I know. Just wish me luck on that. But last month I wrote a song called The Way I Was Born and Raised. And it literally started with a lyric that said, my dad turned me on to ostrich skin boots. And I was just like, nobody says anything about ostrich skin boots and stuff. And that was the first line that I wrote down, and it's like in the second verse. So,
what brand of boots is your favorite boot?
Working boot is Ariat's. And I don't even know what the name of these boots are, but these are the only exotic boots I have. I can't even remember what the name of them.
You said ostrich. I was like, this is a fan of exotic, dude. My coworker, he has some shark skin.
Right.
And he also has alligator.
Oh, man, I love
it. I can't think of that fancy boot company. The name is eluding me.
Lucchese?
That's exactly.
Oh, man. You see, I've always wanted Lucchese's because Eric Church wore Lucchese. Uh-huh. And Eric Church is one of my favorite artists. And I was like, man.
That's a special place in my heart for him.
Oh, yeah. And I went on Lucchese's website and I said, I do not have the Lucchese money to pay for this. So,
but one day.
One day I might have the Lucchese money to pay for this. But, yeah, Ariat's have always been my favorite.
They're comfortable.
So comfortable. And
it's like wearing house shoes. Oh,
and the funny thing is, these are the most uncomfortable boots ever. I had to buy Ariat insoles to put in there to make them comfortable. So
this is not a paid advertisement for Ariat.
Unless you want to be. So.
Yes, and me and Garrett, we will totally do that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, brother. To walk it out of the door, I got three more questions.
All right.
If you could play any venue, where would it be?
The two that come to mind, and just because we're starting out, Rich Cafe in Starkville has always been a big place, only because it's always been like the gateway for country music. I think of like whenever I was in high school, Eric Church got his first, I mean, he came out with Carolina or whatever, I think Carolina's the second album.
Were you there for that?
I was not. I've never seen Eric Church live. my father-in-law has, and it makes me very jealous that he saw him before I did. But
I might have to put something together for us. Like, I haven't seen it live either. Maybe we should go.
That's right. That's right.
Maybe we should.
That's right. I would like that. And Rich has been the top one because I'm like, that's attainable. Like, I feel like I can get to Rich. And I've talked to Rich. Absolutely. And every time I've talked to Rich, it's just like, it hasn't worked out yet. So maybe 2023, I'll have a good many shows at Rich and I can be like, hey, this is my dream right here. Mm-hmm. But the second one has been the Bankcorp South Arena, just because I'm just like, if I make it, I mean, I always want to have, I feel like there's so many bands out there that have homecoming dates and they always put their home state as the last one. I think of the Avett Brothers. They always do New Year's at North Carolina and it's always their biggest show. I'm just like, man, if I could end every single tour at Tupelo, Mississippi, I could go home and sleep with my wife at the end of it. But I'm just like, man, that would just end an awesome tour right there. It's just to end at Bankcorp South Arena.
Well, question number two led to it.
All right.
What is making it in your mind?
Making it is doing what we're doing right now, honestly. I mean, I never thought we would get to this point. I never thought that I would post on Facebook all 2022 dates are booked.
Right, that, when I saw that post, dude, my hands, like, I dropped my phone right through my hands, dude. Because I root for
right.
people. Right. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
like, I'm happy for
you. That's very appreciative. I mean, just have, let me tell a funny story real quick, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
You wrote me a couple of months ago, and it was about the show that you wanted me to play that I was already booked for.
It was a birthday party.
Right. Yeah. You wrote me, and we could never find a time to, like, call each other. And you wrote me, and the first thing I did was I told my wife, Bailey, I was like, he's wanting me to be on the podcast. I was like, this is my moment of fame. So right here is making it to me. I mean, just a small town podcast, but it's big into people's eyes. Like, I mean, you had 360 something episodes. Mm-hmm. You said people listen to you it's insane. I mean, people can just go on Apple, iTunes, and I'm not trying to just blood your show, but I mean, I am trying to blood your show. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome that anybody can just listen to this conversation between me and you. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I'm on this show,
know you, right?
Right. And the fact that I'm on this show just means that I'm a little bit closer to making it. and that's awesome to me. And I mean, I appreciate you. I appreciate you having me on the show. I mean, you don't know how much it actually means to me, for sure.
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. And last question, just to walk it out of the door, is just tell the good folks at home how to stay involved with you. Like, where can they find your tour dates? How can they follow you on social media?
Right. We have our website on Linktree, and Linktree puts you to our Facebook page, our Instagram page, so you can follow us on both of those. If you don't want to go on Linktree, go on Facebook, The Garrett Oswalt Band, and then the same thing on Instagram, at The Garrett Oswalt Band. And if you're feeling generous, we also have Venmo on there. So
there you go. You can throw a tip.
That's right.
Well, Garrett, thank you so much.
Man, I appreciate
that,
Alan.
You got a show to do?
All right.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
We're out of here.
This is Garrett Oswalt again. You can follow my band on Facebook and Instagram at The Garrett Oswalt Band. And this is my last song for tonight, Sierra. Sitting by myself in a barroom, no company seems like company anyway. One more drink or two, then I'll be leaving. Bartenders learn to welcome my stay. As I cry for Sierra to take me back, she took my heart when she decided to pack. Left me without a kiss goodbye, and left me alone for me to question why. What caused the love between us to crack? Yeah, I cried for Sierra to take me back. The lonely bar brings the pictures of us. Even the drinks begin to taste more like you. Maybe I should quit, or maybe just one more. As the bartender, he pours another brew, and I cry for Sierra to take me back. Yeah, she took my heart when she decided to pack. Left me without a kiss goodbye, and left me alone for me to question why. All the jaws of love between us to crack. Yeah, I cried for Sierra to take me back. And bitter rage I'm in. Yeah, you're leaving me, felt more like a sin. The drinking myself into an early grave. Yeah, your name is my only saving grace. As I cry for Sierra to take me back. Yeah, she took my heart when she decided to pack. Left me without a kiss goodbye, and left me alone for me to question why. All the cause of love between us
prayer. Yeah, I cried for Sierra, the team it back. Whoa, all what caused the love between us to crash. Yeah, I cried for Sierra to take me back.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.